our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows, Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Titus 2. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. A young man likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, and not answering again, and not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when once more on this Sabbath day we attempt to open our unclean lips and draw nigh unto thee, who are so majestic, so glorious, as so spotless, so holy, as so pure, and also full of tender loving kindness. Wilt thou grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication? Wilt thou be our praying and thanking high priest? Lord, may we be humbled under all thy goodness, in the midst of all the trials of life. Then thou yet maketh a great difference with so many, yea, with most of the inhabitants upon the face of the earth. In this evening hour, we could yet come unhindered up to thy house. Not possible for many on this Lord's day. By renewal we commend unto thee the country where there is war, death, mourning, wounded, destruction. Wilt thou remember and uphold? May they be given to mightily cry unto thee. Wilt thou remember thy church in that country? May they be given to experience that thou art king indeed, and that these solemn callings, that they may be used, that many sinners may be born in Zion, and that thy people may be led further in the ways of grace. Many in many countries could not go up to thy house because of persecution. Many in prison, many have gathered together with fear and trembling. And, oh Lord, then what a multitudes that had no desire, that have spent this day seeking the pleasures of the flesh, unlawful labors. Then how good thou art, that thou granteth unto us and our children a place under thy word and eternal testimony, where thou wast promised to dwell in a special manner and to work by word and by spirit. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may thy word be blessed in this evening hour. By renewal we are called upon to gather at the foot of Mount Sinai. May it be for uncovering, and may it be used as a schoolmaster to bring to the Lord Jesus Christ for the pardoning of sins, and also instruction for thy people in the way of sanctification. To be ashamed, more and more humbled, unceasing prayer, and each time by renewal of fleeing to that fountain of blood. Lord, bless thy holy word in the church. Bless thy holy word in the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers as head of the household, together with their wives, to that end. To that end so necessary, that love may abound more and more. What a blessing, when by thy common goodness that thou granteth it, when it is not so, wilt thou yet grant repentance, what has been separated, bring it together. Wilt thou remember all of our young people? Wilt thou grant in thy favor with thy blessing a future spouse? It is the future of the church. Wilt thou grant prayers to that end? Bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Continue to grant traveling mercies to and fro. We commend unto the school board, administration, and the staff. Remember the manifold needs amongst us. We commend unto thee the mourning family, where the lost and the dead have been found. We may acknowledge thee therefore, a deep unfathomable way. Wilt thou place underneath them all thy everlasting arms, grant a special place at thy footstool, where they may unburden their heart. May this solemn calling, may it be used for the coming of thy kingdom. Remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, and those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Remember all our elderly ones, those in the care home, all those who may lovingly care for them, those that may still go in and out. Do save their never dying souls. Remember all the sick and all the afflicted, the sick relatives. Wilt thou surround them by thy care and thy compassion, that the callings may be used, that sinners may come under the care of the heavenly physician. Remember crosses, remember burdens, remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. May they be given to use the means, cry unto thee. Repentance while it can yet and while it may yet, and a fleeing to that fountain. Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Wilt thou remember the young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony toward the end of this week? Grant them a place at thy footstool. May they be given to beg of thee, that thou may be their pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, that they may be given to beg for thy special presence and for thy favor. Lord, we commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. Remember the Jewish people. May that veil be taken away, not only in the way of understanding, but in the way of experience. And, Lord, we need to learn that by nature we are all such a Jew. No room for that precious Savior and that precious mediator. Remember all mission work. Then we commend one of our church workers with his wife and children who may return to our country, be in our midst. Then thou wast grant the traveling mercies. Wilt thou grant them a time of refreshment, also when they may meet their family circles, and when he may tell in the midst of the congregation concerning the labors on our mission field. Then his thought shall be with that people to that end. We commend unto thee thy servants, the team. Bless thy word richly. The labors are manifold to that end. May it please thee to grant a church worker that a heart may be inclined to that end. Also servants to labor in thy vineyard, and teachers to teach in our Christian schools. Wilt thou remember our theological school, the instructors and the students? We commend unto thee all Bible translators. Give them reverence for thy holy word, and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth, many times in possibilities and difficulties. May it please thee, when there is no way, as the King of the Church, to make a way, and that for the purpose of all purposes. Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth, our poor nation, that has departed so far from thy word, from thy law, and from thy institutions? Woe unto us that we have sinned. Remember our federal government when they have become so bold, passing laws that are so contrary also to the seventh commandment. Remember our province, our premier, with all those that stand at his side, with the governments of the cities, the governments of the town, also the council of our town. May it please thee to work richly by thy Spirit in the midst of our community, in the midst of the churches, that there may be a turning from our worldly way, a walk closer to thy holy word, O Lord. May it please thee in the latter days of the earth to grant a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children. By renewal we commend unto thee the great need in the realm of nature. O Lord, if it may please thee, that thou may yet grant a great refreshing showers, that the earth may be replenished. Oh, many cattle walking around, searching for some blades of grass. Farmers with their many cares, where perhaps they do not know how to continue, may also that calling be used to bring us back to thy holy word. Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant some simple words to speak? Wilt thou bless it to the hearts of the hearers? Remember us and our dear children with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. We have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great, they are manifold, and, O Lord, 'tis so necessary that it may be experienced that it may be felt that there is mourning over our sins, where we live in a time what used to be sin seems to be sin no more, Lord. Remember us in thy mercy. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. O Lord, how shall a youth preserve his way? At every turn by vanity surrounded, in truth, if he thy statutes will obey, if on thy word his attitudes are founded, and what follows. Psalter 428, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 41, the question and answers 108 and 109. Question 108, what doth the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Lord's Day 41 speaks of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Four thoughts. First, a commandment pertaining to a divine institution. Secondly, a commandment condemning uncleanness. Thirdly, a commandment forbidding all enticements. And fourthly, a commandment exhorting to watchfulness. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. A commandment pertaining to a divine institution. A commandment condemning uncleanness. A commandment forbidding all enticements. A commandment exhorting to watchfulness. Thus first, a commandment pertaining to a divine institution. A beloved congregation, in this evening hour by renewal, then we are called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. It is in the context of gratitude, in the part of sanctification, in the life of the true child of God. But we have heard it clearly declared in the Scriptures that the law has more purposes. In the first place, we have already heard it from Lord's Day number 2, that it is for the uncovering, that we may be given to see our misery, how poor, how wretched, and how guilty we are. Further, as we find in the book of Galatians, then the law is a schoolmaster to Christ. The Spirit teaches His people that they can never satisfy justice, only increase their debt. And to that end, the Lord is free, the one in a gentle way than another. The one He more draws, the other He more drives. But the children of God shall learn that they cannot pay that debt. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, in their hearts. John Calvin has added that the Lord in his goodness has also given the law for the well ordering of society. The seventh commandment that concerns one of the roses that is left out of paradise. Two roses left, the Lord's Day and the institution of marriage. We live in a day where the devil, with all the powers of hell, are trying to erase those two roses from off the face of the earth. And that concerning those two roses, that there shall not be a reminder of the Creator, that Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth. But we have heard in this morning hour that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to that end, the King shall take care of it, that those two beautiful, those beneficial roses, that they shall continue until the end of the earth. Concerning the seventh commandment, then we can speak of a certain difference. To make it plain, concerning the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. When the Lord has created Adam and Eve, there was not the least desire, nothing concerning hatred, that has connection with that commandment. But now concerning the seventh commandment, it concerns those good and beautiful desires that the Lord has created in Adam and Eve, a desire for one another. And to that end, the Lord has said unto Adam, it is not good that man be alone. I will create an helpmeet for him. What a blessing and what a privilege when there may be love in the midst of the family circles, because young and old, when that is missing, what do we then have upon this earth? I read in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And now the foundations of society, they are quickly being destroyed. The family circle, how quickly it has declined in the last decades, how alarming, how necessary that we are given to ask the Lord much, that He may keep and remember our families, and that God's holy word, the first gift which young married couples receive, the holy word of God, the central piece it must be of marriage. Thereupon, the Lord has promised His blessing, because I read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, those that honor me, I will honor, but those that despise me, they shall be lightly esteemed. Were the word of God, where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been brought, there the family circle receives its rightful place, and especially girls, women, wives, and mothers. We have all read missionary stories, many beautiful histories that missionaries have written. Oh, it is true. I have read of John Patton, the missionary to the South Sea Islands. When he came to that island, cannibals, you know what they are, boys and girls? They are people that eat people. When he saw them naked in their deplorable condition, and the wives, most of the work, many times scolded, sometimes beaten, and sometimes they even killed one to instill fear in the rest. But now where the gospel of Jesus Christ has come, there they have received their rightful place as a helpmeet, as a vine, at the sides of the house, respected, honored, and praised. We live in a time that our country is quickly returning to heathenism. Of course, there is still, oh, must we call it a remnant. And our country used to be so different. That pretty well every family, maybe in early days, difficult to even find a household where there was not a family Bible. But now returning to heathenism, the women wanted to be liberated. And now by renewal, they have become slaves. They want a career and raise a family. What a difficult life. Concerning the family circles and concerning the seventh commandment, then in the epistles of Paul and different ones, then we read in the way of sanctification, that the apostle, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written much concerning the family circle. We have read together from Titus 2. That book has 46 verses, and 6 verses were written specifically concerning the family circle. We have heard it, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. When we think of that word doctrine, then we think of the doctrines concerning salvation as they are declared in God's word. But let us always remember that it includes a sanctification. And then we have heard it, with whom did Paul begin? Did he begin with the youth? No, it is true. I read in Proverbs 22 verse 15, and that foolishness is bound up in the heart of the youth. But in verse 2, then it begins with the aged men, the husbands, as head of the household, as the prophet, the priest, and the king. Then a word concerning the aged women. Thus Paul is not given to speak of retirement concerning old people, of course. When we become old, we cannot do the labors that we have done when we were young, but it is stressed in this book the responsibility of older ones, fathers and mothers, in the midst of the family circles, in the midst of the church, and in the midst of the community. There is also always work to be done in the way of volunteering, but it is especially stressed to teach the younger ones, the aged women, that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient. And then a word to young men. Thus, the proper place of the family circle, a family where there is family worship, and where there is spoken also of these matters. It begins with husband and wife. It is so necessary that the children, that they may see, that they may think the same, what the Jews have spoken at the grave of Lazarus, when in verse 35 in John 11 that Jesus wept, and then in verse 36, behold how he loved him. We live in a time that there are special enemies of marriage and the family circle. We shall mention three. In the first place, that is the love of materialism, and not so simple. The husband as the breadwinner cost a lot to raise a family, and we are given to see that the costs are quickly rising. But let us remember that the God of Elijah still lives. And when families may live frugally, humbly asking the Lord for their daily bread, then we may expect the Lord's blessing. Of course, also, we live in a country where much work is seasonal, and we are called to be diligent. We must make hay when the sun shines, to make it simple. But now for a little instruction for husbands. Let it then be when the work is finished, that you do not remain speaking with co-workers and even drinking, but that you hasten to your home, to your wife, and to your family. Another enemy is the love of pleasure. I read in 2 Timothy 3 verse 4 that in the latter days that men shall be lovers more of pleasure than of God, not to misunderstand it, does not mean that we may not have relaxation, but when we are laboring for pleasure, then surely, then we are following hard after the world. In the third place, technology. What of marriages and what of families, what of bodies, and what of souls technology has destroyed. To that end, let us stand shoulder to shoulder, and that our hand does what it finds to do, and not open internet has destroyed much. To that end, the importance of marriage and the family circles, because when the family circles do not prosper, when love does not abound, of course, each marriage is outside of paradise, and we are all conceived and born in sin. Thus, let us not expect perfection, although the Lord demands it, but of family circles gathered around God's holy word, younger parents, it is so necessary that bond between you and your children is established when they are young, and then with the Lord's blessing, when they become older, then they shall still come to you with their questions, also the questions concerning a future spouse. What a beautiful example we have in Genesis 24, where the servant of Abraham, believed to be Eliezer, that he has went to Haran, where the servant has bowed his knees, and where the Lord has answered that request in such a wonderful and amazing way. Thus, young people, I hope you may be given to ask the Lord for a future spouse in his favor, when you may receive one, that you may say that you have received it in the way of prayer. In the next place, let us be convinced that we both need to be under the same truth. Marriage, that is not missionary work. Maybe a young person says, but what about a roof? Young people, if there may come a roof in church, and of that roof it was seen, Boaz has said, that the whole city knoweth that she was a virtuous woman. When such a roof, whether a young woman or a young man, may come under the truth with that good choice, then we say they are one for that truth. But when they begin to court a different truth, it is not missionary work. To make it very clear, young people, when you see a blackbird and a robin about the same size, the same shape, when they even begin to build a nest together, then you must come and tell me, because I have never seen it. Our young people, when the Lord may spare the world, they are the future of the church. How necessary when young people are courting that they may be given to speak about God's word when you come out of church, what you have heard that binds together in a special way. Examples in the scriptures we shall only mention. Ahab, who married that Jezebel, a worshipper of idol gods. What a consequence for the family circle. What a consequence for the government. And what a consequence for the land of Israel. Secondly, a commandment condemning uncleanness. We live in a world, what used to be sin seems to be sin no more. And let us be honest, are we still so shocked concerning the great sins against the seventh commandment? Is there that sorrow? I read in Psalm 119, verse 136, rivers of waters run down my eye, because they keep not thy law. To that end, how necessary that continually we are given to read and search the scriptures. The sins are manifold. Adultery, married persons, fornication concerning single ones. When the angel Gabriel has come to Mary, and when the angel has told her that she would be the mother of the Son of God, then she could honestly say that she knew no man. Young people, then it is necessary when you court that you speak to one another, because there is physical attraction, but that you speak to one another, and that you speak of bounds that you shall set and keep for marriage what belongs for marriage. Many marriages suffer shipwreck because they begin not in the proper way. We shall mention that awful and terrible sin of incest, the family circles, which has destroyed so many bodies, so many souls, and so many churches. Examples in the Bible, Lot and his daughters, Ammon and his sister, and in the churches. Then sometime the fifth commandment is used concerning authority to commit that sin. When there are questions concerning these matters, then it is right and proper that we seek an other one in authority, and that we lay out the case. A further, unlawful divorce the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities. The Lord has rained fire and brimstone, and our country has become as such as Sodom and a Gomorrah. We have even come to such a strange time. Who would have thought of it 15 years ago? A concerning transgenderism. We read clearly that the Lord has created them male and female. And let us not be part of that movement. It has begun the last century when the distinction between male and female was being more erased. When women began to dress like men, forbidden in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. When men began to wear shorts, when that distinction went to give a simple instruction for how many ages in public washrooms, concerning the washrooms, there was a man not with shorts, but with long pants, and a woman with a dress. Let us not be part of that movement, because then we grieve the Spirit, and then the Lord shall remove more and more His common goodness. Further, we read the instructors, they have not mentioned all those sins separately. They have spoken more of the causes, the things that entice men thereto. They have written of all uncleanness is a blessing. When we and our children may still have a tender conscience, that does not mean when our conscience does not speak that it is right. The Bible is the rule of life. What saith the Lord? A commandment forbidding all enticements. Let us first sing. Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, 435, 1, 2, and 7. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. A commandment pertaining to a divine institution. A commandment condemning uncleanness. And now thirdly, a commandment forbidding all enticements. We read in answer 41, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same. We read of our heart in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of our heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Of course, a difference whether we prayerfully strive against them or whether we feed them. And now concerning the enticements with the technology, how they have greatly increased the last decades. Are speaking our reading in Ephesians 5 verse 4, and neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient. Concerning our company, I read in Proverbs 13 verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And when we speak of company, we have heard out of Titus 2 that word sober is mentioned 3 times, and soberly once. And to that end, of course, the technology has its use. It is here to remain. But what a danger for us and our children. We could speak of the issue of redeeming our time, but also concerning the seventh commandment, concerning the company that we meet with the technology. Music, much music, that allures us to the same. Places, bars, movies, we do not have to mention at all. Do you know what is necessary? Fathers and mothers, that you may have a home where there is love and unity, and where our children, when they become older, that they can bring their friends home and that they may have an enjoyable evening. Alcohol. What a marriages. What a bodies, what a souls, what a businesses that alcohol has destroyed. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, he warns against alcohol many times. And in Proverbs 23, the verses 30 through 31, with alcohol, thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart alter a perverseness. Then further, in modesty, alas, alas, we live in a time in the world where it seems that there is no shame, and also effect in the world necessary that we remain a separate people. Paul has written to his son Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 9 that women adore themselves in modest apparel, and also for men. And let us remember that there is nowhere written in God's holy word, when there is water, when there is swimming, that it gives an exception for modesty. If you read the history of North America at the beginning of 1900, it was so different. Thus many enticements, and greatly increased with computer, smartphones, and by renewal, young and old. Let us not trust in our own strength. There are those that have told me, fathers and mothers, we would say conservative for the old truth. And when you speak about open internet, then they tell you, but we do not do such things. Then I have told them, then you are better than I. Because when we trust in our own strength, what if families have been destroyed? The Lord knows how many in the midst of the congregation, young people, husbands, that are struggling with pornography. Oh, may you be prayerfully be given to seek help before we are destroyed. From Genesis 37, when we have spoken some weeks ago about those brothers of Joseph that have sent that coat dipped in blood and that have tried to comfort father with their wives, that for more than 20 years they have lived a double life also concerning their wives, because those sons knew what had taken place with Joseph and not to tell their wives. What a solemn thing it is when husbands, instead, we shall say it simply, not delighting in the precious gift of their wife, that they are seeking their enjoyment elsewhere. May we be given to repent. Our forethought, a commandment exhorting to watchfulness, because we read, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, and the temple, there were watchmen that had to guard the purity of the temple of the Lord. And so we are called with eye gate, with ear gate, that we are called to guard. And we have said in the part of gratitude, the seventh commandment, what sins we read of saints that have fallen into this sin. Lot, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, with Bathsheba, Samson, with Delilah. And what is now necessary? In the first place, the scriptures. In the second place, we have mentioned the example of father and mother. In the third place, to watch and pray, as we read in Mark 13, verse 33. In the fourth place, not to trust in our own strength. Always Samson, he has played with Delilah, and he has lost his hair, and he has lost his love, he has lost his life, and then necessary to consider the positive. What a blessing, what a privilege, when there is love in the family circle. In the second place, The Lord has promised special blessings. They are for the time when we may walk according to this word. In the third place, to consider the troubles and the misery. We have examples in the scriptures. We have so many examples in society. So many broken families. So many divorces. So many children with scars that they have to carry for the rest of their life. In the next place, to consider what Hagar has said in Genesis 16, verse 13, Thou, Lord, seest me, that the all-seeing eye of the Lord, that He sees us in all places and in all circumstances. And then to consider the end, when there is no repentance, then to spend an eternity in hell, where we shall curse each other and curse the Lord, young and old. Concerning this commandment, then the sins are manifold, and what is now necessary? That we are given to turn, that we are given to repent, that we are given to confess. I read in Psalm 130, the verses 3 and 4, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who could stand? But then the psalmist has added, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, that is through that great bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the bride has said in the Song of Solomon, 5 verse 10, that he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s, that he has shed his precious blood, that sinners may be saved. Oh, the necessity that we become the sinner, and also concerning the sin of the 7th commandment, given to confess, to repent, and to be given to flee to that fountain of blood. When we read the Holy Scriptures, the first two chapters in Genesis 2, after the creation, already in Genesis 1, that He created the male and female in the image of God. And in Genesis 2, the verses 18 through the end, there the first marriage is so beautiful declared, where the Lord has put Adam to sleep. He has taken a rib, closed them up. He has made a beautiful wife, and He has brought that wife to Adam, and they became one flesh. But now also in the last chapter, there is spoken of a marriage. That is the marriage of the great bridegroom with the bride, because we read in Revelations 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water freely. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day and some words to speak. Wilt Thou add Thy blessing, this simple instruction, give repentance and a fleeing to Thee. Wilt Thou remember all of our family circles, matters amiss, wilt Thou grant that sorrow and that repentance, O Lord. Wilt Thou graciously watch over us. We may commence another week. Wilt Thou remember in the home, the mothers with the children, daytime, the night watches. Remember all those that are called to work during the night, the lawful callings, the medical field emergency, on the road. It is all known unto thee. Who wilt thou remember on the way, at work, at school, wherever we are called to be? Who wilt thou keep from harm and danger, from an unexpected, an unprepared death? Who wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, our deeds? Who wilt thou keep us also from sin and temptation, also concerning the seventh commandment? By renewal we remember the great need in the realm of nature. May it please thee to open the heavens when thou shuttest no man can open, and when thou openest no man can shut. By renewal we commend that mourning family unto thee, where the lost and dead have been found. Bring us together for a weekday service, when we hope in a special way to meditate and to remember on the glorious ascension of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where the gates have been opened and where the King has entered with great glory, and from thence he governs and rules over the whole earth, and especially concerning thy church, our Lord. May the number greatly be increased among our children, our youth, middle-aged and elderly ones, that may be brought under that glorious banner to become a soldier, to fight that warfare. Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies, bring us safely to our destinations, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 140, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within, cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. A correction from this morning announcement: the wedding on Friday shall be at 10:30 a.m., not 11 a.m. as was announced this morning. Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.